Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Bless you, buddy. Love you. That's your desire? Do you want to see him?
Amen.
He's resurrected, sitting in heavenly places. We're already raised up, supposedly into another dimension. And maybe when we get in another dimension, we won't have time changes we'll have to worry about. Right, Brother Donnie? That's right. You know me, I announced it at the office several times. Someone else too, but I think Brother Chris forgot also, so that's okay. In October, you can forget, and all y'all that are late will be an hour early. But when you do it this time, it makes you an hour late. So, but good to be in the house of the Lord. We still have to go through time. Time's still here. So, you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Had a good week? Today seems like a special day to me. I don't know to you, but just seems like a special day. I was texting, Brother Tom Ernest sent me a text this morning, said to tell all of you hello. And that he loved you, and that he'd see us soon, probably. So that he's out in Wichita at his home church. So, if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 3 and get started. I didn't bring my Diglot this morning, so we'll just read it out of the regular scripture. I think you kind of got the gist of what the Diglot was saying. The original being joint heirs instead of just heirs, being joint heirs together the grace of life. And that's what we're going to talk about today, but the role of the man in doing so. There must be headship, because we are sheep and we must be led. There's got to be someone above us to lead us and guide us. Like the Holy Spirit is our guide, he's to lead us and guide us into all truth. Is that correct? All right, so let's bow our heads before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would again come among us, Lord, in a special way, Father, not as a bystander but an active participant. You take over this flesh, Lord, and take over the ears and the eyes of the hearers and the seer, Lord, that we may see what's given to us in this end time, Lord. we've been given an opportunity to fulfill your word, something that Paul and many of those people in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament could not do, Lord. They could not completely take the whole word of God and break it down and line it up, Lord, where we line up with you. But now in the end time, you've given us that opportunity. You sent a prophet, Lord. You sent us the word through that prophet to give us strength, Lord, and to break these things down for us. And we take his words and we read them, Father. And we know that was you speaking to us, Lord. So now I pray that as we speak, that it not be man's words or not be a man's quote, but let it be a living reality. Let it be something that we take home, Lord, and take part of, Father. And if anything be said that's not smothered, just smothered with the Holy Spirit, Lord, let it be taken out of our life, Lord. Just let it be totally saturated in you, Lord. When we do that, then everything falls in line. Father, we pray for the sick that's not here, Lord. Be with them and bless them. Be with the sick that's here among us in the sanctuary, that you'd take it away from them, Father, as the word goes forth. May you seek and heal and save the lost. Be with each one, Father. Take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 3, chapter 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. We'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about the wives, but today is going to be the role of the male or the husband. While they behold your chaste or clean conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that out of be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament, that's what it is. Now see, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament, what? This is the part that's not corruptible. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well. There's a stipulation there. We'll get into that when we get into the female part. And are not afraid with any amazement. He's taking the fear out. Remember, fear is what got us here. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being joint heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And you may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we come to a time now where we've got the marriage part. I hope you've really, really enjoyed the marriage part. Now we're going to break it apart. And when you break things apart, it gets a little more touchy. Because you got to get down to where you live now. You can kind of hide behind the husband and wife role because we're married. We two are one, you know. I'll hide behind him, she get behind me. No. We're going to see today, man, you got to be first. You got to be first in everything. You got to be the first one. Not the first one that thinks of everything, thank goodness. Because we're not infallible. Sisters, today, I'll promise you one thing. You'll learn we are not infallible. But there's one thing that is infallible, and that's the Word of God. If you take the Word of God and use it as your head, men, coming down to the sisters, if you stay in the line of the Word, then you will not ever fail. Alright? Because the Word's infallible. Alright? So now, just to review a few minutes, you can go ahead and pull that quote up if you want to, the first one. But talking about three-dimensional love, did everybody understand that? There's two dimensions in the world that love, and that's your body and your spirit. But if you don't have that inside of the inside, that third realm, that soul where you can connect. Now, we're not soul mating. I don't agree with that. I don't think that you, but still, in every error, there's truth. Somewhere in there, in error, there is truth. Because if you truly are one, you're not the same soul. We know that. But when we come back to eternity, or if you have the new birth and I have the new birth, then you do have the same soul. Right? Okay, so we can safely say we're not soul mating down here, but we can safely say that God's doing it. Now, when God puts something together, that's why the Bible says, that's why when Jesus come, he said, whatever man puts together may not be right. He said, but whatever God puts together, let no man try to take it asunder. Let no man try to take it away. In other words, why? He's the one that put it together. Is he not perfect? He's perfect when he puts something together. All right. So when you're together as one in Christ, then you're perfect. We've got to understand that even in our role of husband and wife, that we saw all of our fallacies and all the things that we did wrong and then the things that we did right. We still see that as human beings, we're wrong most of the time as human beings. But like I said before, you're going to see today if everybody will take their position. You say, oh, my position's way on up here. Well, prove it. Prove it. And I'm not saying that bad. I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm saying we got to prove it. We got to prove it. But we got to start in these primary things. If you can't be the head of your own house. Now, before we get started, Like I said the other day, some of you don't have your wives here. Some of you don't have your husbands here. These quotes I took off, not singling out any one person. Okay? Now, I'd be lying and standing here and I'd leave this pulpit. But I didn't have one person in mind. But I know a lot of you don't have your spouse here. But I'm going to read to you what Brother Branham said. I'll let him tell you. Then you can talk to him about it. All right? I'm just going to put you the quote down, and I'm not going to, you know, skewer it or put my own interpretation in it. I'm going to read you what it says. So if you look at this one, remember, never argue, have respect for each other. All right? I think a man's filter. This is the last one we read last Sunday. So in the review of what we're doing here, listen. Oh, for the grace of God that he would give us understanding of such great mysteries. As Paul spoke here further on down in Ephesians, speaking of the husband and the wife, said this is a mystery. What is a mystery? He just tells you how the woman should be in respect to their husband. Great mystery. Even the second place, I believe it is, the entire scripture that reverence was ever spoken to. Said the woman, seeing she reverence her husband, reverence her husband. Then a husband ought to live such a life. Now that's what we're going to talk about today, the role of the man. Seeing she reverence her husband, reverence her husband. Then a husband ought to live such a life before his wife that his wife could reverence him as a son of God. Because if you don't, she's not. And you know what? If you don't, and she's trying to serve God, you're out of the picture. I'll read that to you in just a little bit. Because if you tell her to do something contrary to the Word of God, your husband tells you to do something contrary to the Word of God, he's not your head anymore. But now Brother Ram does tell you to still respect the man because that's your husband. That's the man you married. All right? And if he doesn't live that kind of life, well, then, of course, she wouldn't reverence him because she knows what he's made of. But when it is a man that is a reverent man, reverent and clean with his wife and before his family, a real servant of God, then the woman, children, and all, women, children of all, should respect that servant of God with reverence. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Is that right? Now, go to the Genesis 3:16. This is why that we have this situation. We talked about it some last Sunday. But Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right, so there's where your double covenant comes in, where man is the ruler now over the woman, or the weaker vessel. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right? Now, under the double covenant, this is what we're under right now. We're under that covenant where man is the ruler. He's the head. He's the headship. Sisters, whether you like it or not, I'm going to read some quotes that you may not agree with, but you're disagreeing with the prophet. You're not disagreeing with me. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. There's that third dimension. Because without God in that soul, who's your head? Satan's your head. Because there are only two powers. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we see it every bit come down through there. Christ, when he was on earth, he had honor to his Father, which was in heaven. Is that correct? He knew the one inside of him was greater than this one right here, than this flesh man. All right, he wasn't two people, he was one God, but he also knew that one inside of him was the one that ruled everything. All right, is that correct? That don't bother me. That's one true and living God. Because you know what? This is going to get back to when you see God and Adam and Eve in the garden, if you were God standing looking at God, the only way I can explain it, he see one. He see three, right? You see one. If we were to look and say, well, no, there's God and Adam and Eve. No, there's God, and God made flesh in another form.
Right.
And then God made flesh in another form. And then God made flesh in another form. But what happened? Satan got to Eve, and it stopped that. Instead of it being God made manifest in another form, Dick Addison, Samuel Dale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Satan stopped it. Right? Then we had to wait a little while. We had to wait a little while till that head could come back.
Right.
He didn't leave. We're using these words for our own good. God never left. We left him.
Right.
So he couldn't get to us. That fellowship was broken by what? Fear. Adam said, I'm afraid. Well, then God said, I'll put enmity. I'll put a division between me and you. And in other words, you're not going to see me like you should until I come back. And I come back in flesh and identify who I am. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he was identifying the Father that was in him, right? Then he's telling us now in Corinthians, which the Corinthians had a problem, right? Ephesians didn't have no problem. They were a mature group of people. But the Corinthians always had problems with marriage and divorce. So here is Paul coming in verse 3 of chapter 11. He said, would I have you know that the head of every man is Christ, starting right there.
Right.
Then, or and, or even, the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God.
Right.
So, guys, if you're born again, you're in the most godly position you can be in,
right,
according to the Scripture.
Right.
I said according to what you can be in.
Right.
Excuse me. You want me to hear that one more time?
Yeah.
Men, if you're born again, you're in the most godly position you'll ever be in.
Right.
If you stay a man, be a man, be a husband, be a father, you are in the position. And sisters, you're going to see that. We're going to talk about that revelation with the sisters where Paul said this is a revelation. That a woman reverence her husband. Well, let's go spiritual. Let the bride reverence Christ. Same thing. You can't separate it, but we got to separate it to get the role of the man. Under the double covenant, we got to get the role of the man where the man is the one. And I'm going to read you some some things that Brother Branham said that'll shock you maybe. But let's go to Ephesians 5 and 23. Now, what is Ephesians? Paul doesn't have to explain so much to the Ephesians, right? Because they understood. Just like we should understand today. Excuse me. Like Brother Andre was saying, you know, we've got it all here, Brother Claude. You know, we I don't say we got it all, but I'm saying every revelation that's ever been preached in this message has been preached from here. So being preached from here, then if you didn't accept it, you've come out from under your headship. Let's get back lined up under our headship. And our headship is Christ. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. All right? Now, also, but now look, the husband can't save his wife. If she's lost, he can't save her. But let's look at that a little deeper. If she's a Christian and he's a Christian, she can be saved by the husband. I'm not talking about saved and baptized into the body. See, I'm getting double scripture here. He is the Savior of her body. You're the Savior of your wife's body because she can't be circumcised. You're circumcised and she's under you. That was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we are all under circumcision. But still, I'm going to read you some quotes where she'll never have to give an account for us. But we're going to have to give an account for her. So if we can bring her back under that headship, Savior of the body. Everybody understands that too far out? I don't think so. Because we are supposed to be one flesh. All right? Now, listen to this. Did you put this up, Brother Joe? The note? Yeah. Listen, the man needs to understand. That's what we're going to talk about today. Both services are going to be on the man. So the females, you can come back this afternoon and we're still beating on the male. The man needs to understand his role. I looked out here a few minutes ago and I thought, man, they either didn't turn their clock forward or everybody decided to go fishing. But Gary Krantz was here, so I know you weren't using his boat. The man needs to understand his role so he can know how to act and react to situations in a marriage. That's your position, men. and be obedient to that position. The female should also understand what the male's role is so she can help him. You're not to pull apart. So if today you sisters will listen, let God and let the prophet and the scriptures tell you what you're supposed to be looking for. So even though some of you young ladies that are not married are looking, or maybe on the internet that's looking, this will help you to find somebody that maybe is already in that position. And thank God, because boy, your life will be a whole lot easier. I said a whole lot easier. I didn't say easy. I said a whole lot easier. The female should also understand what the male's role is so she can help him. She's supposed to be the helpmeet, right? What? One given to help. All right? Fulfill his role. You take the helpmeet out. So she can help him fulfill his role according to God's word. Because if, sisters, if you rule the house, you have not only dishonored yourself, you've dishonored your head. You've took him out of his position. You've took him out. But man, if you know what you're supposed to do and you let her take him out, it's doubly on you. The man can put the woman back in line. But the man has to put the man back in line. The woman can't put the man back in line. Everybody understand that? I mean, you can get all jumbled up there, but the man is the head. He's the one that's going to put himself, and Christ should put him in line. Brothers, we got to listen to God. We got to listen to God in the situations, the things we do. We got to listen to God and do the godly things to bring our sisters, maybe that are not in the sanctuary with us, or our brothers, to bring them under that. But how are we going to do it if we don't understand our role? So he can know how to act and react to situations in a marriage. I know we've all reacted wrong to a lot of situations. We've reacted wrong. Why? That's what I said a couple of sermons ago. Pray before you fight. Then fight nice. What I always told the kids, I said, quit fighting. I said, fight nice. But look, man, be obedient to that position. You're not this great big king ruler that has nobody over you. Because right there with you is the King of Kings. He's the ruler. He's the one that rules. But then the female should understand, though, that through you, man, through you, you can be put in line. Through the man, the woman can be put in line and be under subjection and do the right thing for God. Everybody understand that? Say amen. All right, now, a few things I want to say that I didn't write down. But we need to, sisters, you need to compliment him. You're not an accessory like a purse or an accessory like a new belt or a wallet or something. No, you're June is me made manifest in another form. But it is another form. And it's another form that you've got to deal with. She's not made like you. Man's made masculine. We're made to think things out. We're made to do different things. We're supposed to, build a nest, not sit on the eggs. Right? I know. Hush. There are some birds, eagles, certain things that sit on the nest. But in most cases, men are not supposed to have babies. So that's what the female. The female's more of the homebody. She's more of the emotional. She's more of the. You know, you say, well, we're going to go out and eat. We're going to go out and eat, and we're going. I come in. I brought the money in this week, and we got some extra money, and we're going to go out and eat. She's like, honey, we ain't got enough money to go out and eat, or I'm not hungry or something. You got to agree. Compliment him. Say, hey, I appreciate that. But now remember one thing. You got to support him. You know what support means? That's like you got an army out here fighting. You got to bring up the support. You got to support that man. But now look, you say, well, I wouldn't support my man. Well, you know what? He may not be in his position yet. Or you may not be in your position yet. But we got to understand our position. You've got to be supportive. Whatever it is. Sarah supported Abraham in two things that seemingly we thought was wrong. I'm fixing to give my wife to a king. Tell him you're my sister. And she said, okay. She must have. They've got her ready. Right? Read your Bible. They got her ready. She wasn't standing in there fussing and throwing and slinging hairpins. And no. She was under subjection. And that's why she called Abraham Lord. Because she trusted him. There must have been something there. She trusted God enough to believe that Abraham was doing the right thing. And it's for our example in the end time. All right, that we are Sarah. We're supposed to be like that to Abraham. But Abraham, she called him Lord or ownership. In other words, Sarah was saying, whatever this is, he still owns me. He's my ruler. We took each other and he's my ruler. He's my owner. He owns me. Not a slave, but he owns me. All right? And we'll see in just a little while that God didn't kill Sarah because of Abraham. Right? God couldn't go and get Sarah. He had to go through Abraham to get to Sarah. That's why I said, if you've got your headship right, Christ, your head man, you're the head of the female, or your wife. I'm going to use wife because you can't be headship over women. Right? Okay, for your wife. All right? Then what's going to happen is, then there you go, Savior of the body. God has got to look at Abraham before he looked at Sarah. He saw a righteous Abraham and forgave Sarah because, Brother Brown said, we'll read in a minute, he couldn't touch Sarah because she was part of Abraham. And they weren't. Not like Adam and Eve. They weren't. They were not. In other words, Sarah didn't come out of Abraham, but under all the word of God and what God put together, let no man take asunder, they were so much one. So God couldn't destroy Sarah without destroying Abraham. All right? Now, what about that today? You say, oh, that's back in the Old Testament. Do we tear that page out and throw it out? That's come to here. That's come to this day, to this age. All right? So let's go ahead and pull up quote number one, which is Thyatira and Church Age. Now, this is going to kind of put it all in perspective. Now, a woman is not meant to have an iron disposition. She is, according to the Holy Scripture, to be submissive to the male. Excuse me. That is commanded of her. Woman who is truly female, all female, will be of that disposition. Not a doormat. No real male makes a female a doormat. But she will want to be under authority and not rule over the male. Because I'm going to tell you something in just a few minutes. I'm going to show you. You females are sisters. You don't have to worry about getting a sermon together. You don't have to worry about the souls of all these people in this church. No, you got to worry about your home. But now listen. But she will want to be under authority and not rule over the male. For he is the head of the house. If she breaks that image that God made for her, she is perverted. I didn't say that, he did. Any male that lets the woman take authority has also broken that image, and he is perverted. That is why a woman cannot wear that which pertaineth to a man or cut her hair. She is never to wear a garment that pertaineth to a male or cut her hair. And I know this is clothesline holiness, but he put it in here, I didn't. When she does, she is intruding into the male domain, taking authority and perverting herself. And when a woman invades the pulpit, which is commanded she must not do, she shows what spirit she is. Being a dominating female is Antichrist. And the seeds of the Roman Catholic Church are in her, though she may deny this ever so vehemently. But when it comes to the word, let God be true and every word of man be a lie. Amen. All right, let's go to number two. Is your life worthy of the gospel? May you men that's got your wives and let them be the boss of the house and lead you around. May the God of heaven give you grace to set your foot down and bring that woman back to her right mind again. She must be crazy. I'm not going to read that again. But that's what he said. Yeah. And realize that that's your place in Christ. Not a boss. Now, but you are the head of the house. Remember, she's not even in the original creation. She's only a byproduct. We went through that last week. She's only a byproduct of you. You see how personal that is? He's not talking about Adam and Eve. She is a byproduct of you. Give by God to you to take care of you. What? To be your support or your accessory or complement you. But remember, we're not infallible. We do make mistakes. But if we're God-led, God's going to keep us in line. Hey, God whips us. God whips us. Actually whips us more than he whips you. Because we're the first partaker. I'll read that in just a few minutes. She's only a byproduct of you. Give by God to you to take care of you. To keep your clothes clean and fix your meals and so forth. She's not your dictator. You American women run around with a gob of paint on your face and your nose up in the air. It rained, it drowned you. Then think you're some sort of a dictator. You are to a sissy, but not to a real son of God. You are to a sissy, but not to a real son of God, right? All right, number three. Just one more time, Lord. Let me say this, my friend. You better destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Bring back the old-fashioned prayer meeting, old-fashioned repentance, when they stayed to the altar until they were dead and finished with sin. You never seen a woman go to the altar and die out to sin and next day come back with bobbed hair, paint her face. There's no such. The Holy Spirit teaches. Nature does. Nature of the Holy Spirit. You never seen women going out and dressing sexy come in and try to cover themselves up. You never seen man that was afraid to stand up and afraid his little wife would leave him or something or another because he took the initiative. There's the word we're going to deal with. He took the initiative. Well, man were man in them days. They spoke, they were man, they governed their house. They were the head of house, but this fancy America. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. We're going to talk about the head of the house. Remember what I said about initiative. This is where we're going to start. Now, this is where, you sisters, I want you to understand, this is what God is wanting us to do. As men and as head of the house, this is what we're supposed to do. The husbandman that laboreth, that's a TH on the end of that, so if you're married, you're going to be laboring every day for years. A long time anyway. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, Paul said. The Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? So men, the husbandman, we're the first partakers of the fruit. We are to be the head of the house. Now, I've got the definition of the head on here, but they don't back there, but you can pull up the next one if you want to. Head means top or beginning. The head of the Chattahoochee is where the Chattahoochee River begins. That's the head, the headwaters, all right? So it's at the top or the beginning. But now look, Brother Brown said you got to take the initiative. Initiate. To instruct in the principle of something. To start. Brothers. To start. To initiate. To take the initiative. Whatever is needed in this relationship should be started by the male or the husband. Whatever is needed in this relationship should be started by the male or the husband. You're going to see, we're not going to talk about much about dating. But Brother Branham hated it that the women were calling the men, the boys, and things like that. He hated that because why? That took the man out from under the role. It's put the woman up as the head calling the boys. I know it happens this day and age, but it hadn't changed. I mean, God hadn't changed. The male should call the female. It's whatever is needed in this relationship should be started by the male or the husband. His role is to initiate whatever is needed to line up with the Word of God. Amen? His role is to initiate, start, be the first one, be at the beginning. His role is to initiate whatever is needed to line up with the Word of God. Now let's go to number four. Quote number four. Excuse me. Let's read the whole quote. Oh, my poor dejected friend, the devil might have took you, sister, out yonder to a place where you never do desire to let your hair grow. Might get you to a place where you think that some pastor is nonsense when he's preaching you pure holiness, the way you should dress. Some of you men out there that goes around and does these things you ought not to do. And you men that'll let your wife do a thing like that and smoke cigarettes. I got little respect for you even as a man. Now that's exactly right. You know a man's the head of the house as long as he takes his place. You see what the prophet said? As long as he takes his place. I like to see a man a man. A man's not judged by how many muscles he's got. That's a beast. A man's not judged by the brawny muscles, but he's judged by the bags and the knees of his pants. Where he's been praying, that's what takes a man. Let's go to the next one. Number five, expectations. Let's go through the underlined part. Now, brother, let's get plumb back off his territory. Talking about Satan. All right? Let's come back to God. Come back to the altar. Rebuild the altar again that's been torn down. And build up your home. Take them cards off the table and all them old love story magazines. And open up the Bible and read the Bible and pray. And just don't get down and say, bless my family, Mary and Joe and John and all of them, and get into bed. No, sir. Stay there with God. Oh, my. That's desperation. But you know what? To make a home desperate, the male, the husband, must initiate. We're the stronger. Women, sorry, we are the stronger. You're the weaker vessel. We're supposed to see things first. Now, that doesn't mean in human terms, in human things. You women sometimes are more, thoughtful about even praying for people, I guess, more than males, because you have more feelings involved. But I know a lot of times, and I've seen it happen in dad's life, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, or mom's not here, but a lot of things mom would question, but dad wouldn't give an answer. Why did you do this? Why did that happen? And Jim's asking, why? We're waiting on God. We're waiting on a clear-cut answer from God. Whether your opinion is right or not at the time, we've still got to wait on God. Now, God listens to you, sisters, if you don't cut your hair. Because if you cut your hair, he's not listening to you. Right? So, just be patient. You're supposed to be reverent to the man. Not like Dave Ramsey said the last thing a man needs that's down on his luck is a barking chihuahua dog chewing on his ankles. So, same way in the gospel. No little yapping chihuahua dog napping at your ankles when you're waiting on something from God. Now it says if you're in that position. That's the question you got to ask yourself first. Husbands, am I in this position? If I am, this is what we're going to do. If not, then you get in your position. You seek God for answers to your questions. All right, let's go to the next one. Number six. A Greater Than Solomon is here, 1963. And you men that can't stop gawking and looking at women immorally dressed, the idols of the day. You man that hadn't got enough real grace in your heart to make your wife and kids quit doing such a thing as that. The love of God isn't anchored in your heart. Don't be called a son of God. You're still in Sodom. A man that can't take over his house, God ordained him to do. And you deacons that's married two or three times, of course we don't have that problem here, which praise the Lord. And you men that run out on your wives and try to hold your profession. You women that cross the other way. In other words, the head. You women is trying to be the head. That's what he's saying. You women that cross the other way. You people that hid behind the cloak of the church. He's Shame on you, he said. Shame on you. If he don't belong to your crew and you have nothing to do with him, shame on you. Shame on you men that won't do what? You got to have grace in your heart to make your wife and kids quit doing such a thing as that. What? Dressing immorally. That's what he's talking about. And the men and the boys gawking at the women dressed immorally. If he would have looked at it in this day and time, he would have probably been like somebody was saying one time, said, Lord, just put my eyes out. You know, so I don't see any of it. Because everywhere you look in this day and time, it's there. So let's go to the next one. Number 7, identifications. Now, if you find your place, sister, don't let me hurt you or brother. But you'll find your place in the Word as a Christian. Not what the creed said. That's down here in this lower cannon fodder that's going to be destroyed. So that's nobody that's born again. Everybody's not born again is cannon fodder. Sorry, that's what he said. You're cannon fodder. Because you're going to be here, what he's talking about, you're still going to be here when the destruction happens. Correct? See, you find your place as a Christian because your character is molded as Christ. You are Zoe the same as he was Zoe. Amen? If you're born again today, you're as much Zoe as the Zoe that's your head. Christ. Then if the Bible said for a woman not to cut her hair, how can you do it? It say a man to be a ruler of the house, how can you women be? What's the matter with you men that sons of God? See, you don't find your place. See, we're wanting to be placed all up in this headstone, and we're wanting to have all these places up here in the sky. Have we got our place at home? If you say no, don't talk about the other things. What did Brother Branham say? He said, you start climbing up here. He said, you think, well, I'll just have godliness. What'd he say? You'll fall. Problem, people, you'll fall. I didn't say that. Brother Branham said that. Let's read the rest of that. You're invited to come and take his character. By having his character in you, it molds you into the same mind that he was. And his mind was always to do what the Father had ordained him to do. Always. He said, I do always that what the Father tells me, right? Let's look at one more quote, and then I'll make a comment. This is the token. Now listen to this. And should love one another. Believers should separate themselves from the world. Don't just take it now lightly. Now you people that's listening to this on tape, you women, you men, you listen a minute. If you ever believe me, you believe it now. It's time to quit fussing with one another. Believe the message of the Bible. Believe Christ. Love and honor and respect one another. Man, respect your wives. You respect your home. Bring your home together because remember, now what's he talking about? What was the token? The blood on the doorpost was not just for the male. It was for everyone in his household, but the male had to put it on there. First partaker. If he was lazy and didn't do it, it wasn't just him, it was his whole family was cursed. Because the firstborn died, right? And you got to remember, if he was the firstborn from his mother and father, he died. Right? It wasn't just the father was exempt and all of his... No, if he was the firstborn standing there, he died. Man, respect your wives. You respect your homes. Bring your home together because remember, this lamb was for the home, not just one. For the whole home, too, had to be brought. Everything had to be brought in. We should love each other, and believers should separate themselves from the world. You remember Brother Ram telling a story about the kid, you know, walking up to the dad inside the house there that night of the Passover. And he said, Dad, is everything all right? He said, Son, everything's all right. Daddy, are you sure everything's all right? Yeah, everything's all right. Now, if he was a dilatory dad and he said, yeah, everything's all right, and he didn't put the blood on, and he didn't get into his position, then his children died. And if he was the firstborn, he died. And he didn't say, okay, son, why don't you go peek outside and see what's going on? No, he was the head. They come and talk to him. He was the one that was responsible for that family. And husbands, you are responsible for your wives. All right, so don't think we can sit back and you know, sit sit back in our easy chairs and say, well, bless God if we get them lined up. No, what I'm trying to tell you today, you got to line up first. Initiative. You take the initiative. She is naturally a follower, right, sisters? You'll naturally follow somebody you trust because it's your feeling, your emotion. You'll follow something you trust, all right? So if they can't trust in you, brothers, you're not in your position. So forget about that position. You'll never get to that position until you get to your own position in your house, all right? Now, let me make a comment before we go to govern. To initiate or to take the initiative. I'll give you an example. Brother Joe Canada, sitting in the back there. He's the one that does all of our computers, and a lot of times he doesn't get to participate out here in the service. But he is a man that I respect because he takes his children, and what does he do? He teaches them. He started to teach his children about God. Is that right? Is that right, Sister Rachel? He started teaching his children. He took the initiative. Why? He was the head. He took the initiative to start a little Bible study. And those two kids probably know more about the Bible than I do. That's why we don't let them play Bible trivia, right? On Sunday afternoon, we started playing a little Bible trivia, and sometimes you know and sometimes you ain't got a clue who so-and-so's brother of half-brother of so-and-so, and his name's about that long. But as far as the basics of starting something, Brother Joe felt led. See, husbands, you got to be led. God's already took the initiative. This is his big word right here, this eternal word of God. He's already wrote down what we got to do. He already took the initiative. Hey, he don't need us. He could have stayed eternal and stayed by himself for an eternity and still existed. He didn't want to.
Right.
He didn't want to. Because inside of him, he wanted fellowship.
Right.
He wanted something that he could look at and talk to and commune with.
Right.
But he could have because he's self-existing. So he didn't need a wife to exist. He didn't need friends to exist.
Right.
But he wanted that. So he took the initiative to build a world for us to live on.
Brother.
Then he took the initiative to make a man. And take a woman out of a man and say, here, fellowship. Now I can fellowship with myself. People of like mind. But then we know what happened in the garden. But you know what? God didn't destroy the world. He didn't take every human off the earth and start over again. No, his master plan was starting to roll. His master plan of having headship. He was the head. Adam and Eve. Right? So, brothers, what must we do? We must take the initiative. I say in everything. But now your wife's going to come up with some good ideas. So don't just, we're not saying it's a singular thing. I'm just saying what God said the head of the house is supposed to be. If you're under subjection to your husband, he takes the initiative. Because listen, folks, if we make a mistake, we got to answer for you and to God for me and her. If she makes a mistake, she's just got to answer to me, really. I'm talking about a human mistake. I ain't talking about not being. I'm talking about born-again believers trying to get in their headship to where they make a mistake. Because remember, what did Brother Brown tell that woman? She committed adultery on her husband, right? She said, I've confessed that. She said, you didn't do it to God. Right? He said, you did it to your husband. You got to go tell him. Remember, that's what she didn't want to do. Oh, it'll tear up my marriage, but come to find out, he did the same thing. But, you know what, Brother Brown said, they came together, confessed their sins, and left, and Brother Brown said that they're Christians now. He was making a comment on how they become real good Christian. But see, she had that so much in her, though, till she had covered it. That's the one that he said that 55 gallons of oil poured on her wouldn't do her any good, because what she had done that, and she had stacked it way back into the gable part of her soul. She forgot about it, in other words. But God didn't forget about it.
Right.
Same thing with you and I. If you ever want to get anything from God, you'd better do the same thing. You better come down and confess to your wife. Have we really confessed to our wife? Because Brother Brown said, you go confess to him. said then. See, God's already left you. But that didn't mean she was not savable. It's just that God wasn't going to hear her till he went to her, to the husband. Now, what about a problem here with Abimelech fixing to take this woman that he thinks is Abraham's sister? And then God says, I know you're a righteous man, or I wouldn't have told you this. He said, but you got to go get Abraham. I bet Abimelech's head just started spinning around. What? I didn't do anything wrong. No, he went to Abraham. And Abraham restored that kingdom back because that man had to go through headship. Abraham was the head at the time. Abraham was the head. He had to go back to Abraham and apologize for Abraham lying to him. But that's the way God wanted it done. Same way with, I'm talking about your sisters and men and brothers. You got something you hadn't confessed, you can pray to God from now till the rapture takes place, and you probably won't be in it. You got to confess to your wife. Confess to your spouse. Then, both of you go to God and say, God, don't ever let me do that again. I'll stay right here under my headship, my ruler. But teach. All right, let's go to number two. Govern. Govern means to rule or be the Lord. Govern and rule means to what? Control, direct, or strongly influence the actions. Because we can't make you sisters do things. The more we try to make you do something is the worst thing to do. You know, I mean, if your wife's cutting her hair or she doesn't come to church, start throwing her makeup out the window and throwing her scissors out. Ain't going to get it. But you can strongly influence her action by the way you act. She's got to see it in you first. She's got to see it in you first. She can't see God no other way than through you. To control, direct, or strongly influence the actions and conduct of others. Now, not to control with an iron fist, like Brother Branham said, or to direct. God doesn't control us with an iron disposition or with what? Love, grace, and all these things he governs. But we're supposed to govern, right? We're supposed to govern. But man is not to rule with an iron fist, but with love and correction. So we don't control as in dominate. But we control in the fact that, hey, you're doing this wrong. Let's listen to what Brother Brown said, or watch what he said. Let's go to Genesis 3:16, though, first, and read it again. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That's where you govern or the rule part. Or, what's he going to do? To control, and he shall control or direct or strongly influence your action. That's what he's saying. The male is going to, from now on, he is going to take and he's going to try to control and direct you in a loving sense of way, not in a demanding way. Let's go to 1 Peter then 3 and read what we read this morning. For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Trusted God, being in subjection. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well. In other words, as long as you do that. And are not afraid with any amazement. Now, there's times in our marriage that honestly, when June and I were married, there was always a fear of losing her. Because I wasn't born again. There was no typos. There was no, yeah, sure, I wasn't a Christian and she wasn't a Christian. But when we become Christians, that just took that thing, just exploded that thing out of the way. Wouldn't matter if she left and went on a vacation, talking about going with her sister somewhere. She said, are you okay with that? I said, yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't have any problem at all. Because I trust her. Why do I trust her? It's not maybe that I don't trust her. I mean, that I trust her, but I trust the God that's in her. So I trust the God that's in her. Now, if she's not born again, you better watch out. Even being born again, Satan can tempt you enough. It's like we always told the kids at the youth banquet. It's you we trust, Satan we don't. So if you put the two together, we don't trust you if you got the devil in you. All right, but we are not afraid with any amazement. In other words, no surprises. No surprises. June and I confessed our sins to each other 12 years ago. We're clean. We're done. That's finished. No more to happen again. Not a problem with that. You know what I can do? I can put that over here on the shelf and forget about it, because that thing's clean. Done. Finished. So I'm not afraid of that anymore. When we start getting this fear factor out of the way, because that's what got it started. Adam was fear. He had fear in him. Why? He done something wrong. Right? He done something wrong. He was in fear of what God would do to him. Well, if you take a godly person, a godly husband and a godly wife, you ain't got to worry about that. You don't have to worry about it. That just takes all that out of the way. I want those things taken out of the way. Because remember Brother Brown talked about those filters or flues getting stopped up? See, that stops it up. I got this fear. Now, Brother Branham will tell you, and I didn't bring the quote, but he said, have a godly fear is different than being afraid. Having a godly fear, because fear and reverence go together. He's afraid that he wouldn't serve God. So therefore, he had a fear that he wouldn't be serving God. But he wasn't afraid. We're not to be afraid of God. Never are we to be afraid of our husband. You're never supposed to be afraid of your husband. All right? If you're afraid of your husband, then your husband's not in his right role. Your husband's not in the right role. If you're afraid to go home. Somebody say amen. Quote number 9. Do you know, ladies, it's wrong to wear slacks? Do you know that? Do you know it's wrong to cut the locks of your hair off? Do you know it's wrong, mister, for you to continue to smoke and act the way you do? Do you know it's wrong for you not to be the husband of your house? Your wife get a little temper spell and kick you out the door and say, yes, bless your heart, honey, I'll come right back. You and I have been married for 32 years and I've slept on the couch one time. That's because the kids were sick. And I had to sleep on the couch. I'm going to sleep in my own bed. She might go somewhere else, but I'm going to sleep in my bed. And that's the way we say? And that's the way it is? Say, you go, wow, bless God. She gets mad at me, she can go sleep on the couch. I heard this one time, and it's kind of funny, but a guy said he bought these real nice, beautiful couches. Soft leather and all that stuff, you know. And somebody said, well, man, why'd you spend so much on the couch? He said, because I'm going to be sleeping there most of the time. Just to wake you up a little bit. How can you be a tender at the house of God when you can't even control your own house? That's exactly right. Do you know, sister, that your husband is not only your husband, he is your ruler. God said so. Because that the husband was not deceived, the woman was deceived. And you preachers will continue to make women pastors and preachers in your church, knowing that the word of God condemns it. Now, we know who he's talking to. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the denominational world when he's talking about that. But how can you be a tender? Because remember, excuse me, a bishop must be the husband of one wife. But he doesn't exactly have to be married to preacher to preach. Right? Paul wasn't. But if you're a deacon, you need to be married. But it said be control of his family. In other words, how are you going to be a tender, or somebody that has some, you know, authority in the church? How are you going to be that if you can't even rule your own home? All right? So, if you can't control your own house, how can you be a tender at the house of God? That's exactly right. Your husband's not only your husband, but he is your ruler. All right, so let's go to... What's the next coming up? Okay. While you're looking at that, let me read this. But being the head and being the one who is to initiate things also means the man is responsible. You're responsible. Anyone in a leadership role is responsible for those who they are to lead and will answer to God for their role. That's why Jacob said this is a fearful place, the house of God. This ain't a job that I'd wish on anybody. But if it's a job that God give us to do, we're going to do it. Okay? But we got to make sure that we're right. We're first partakers. Brother Dale's first partaker of the fruit, just like we read the husband. So see, we can spiritualize this a lot, but let's stay down here. All right? Why didn't Abraham, why didn't God kill Sarah sitting right there denying and lying right in the face of God? Sitting there as a mortal man, eating flesh, eating bread, drinking milk. Said, why? I never said that. She said, I never said that. Uh-oh, my. Tell God that he's a liar to his face. But he couldn't take her. Why? She's a part of Abraham. Amen. He couldn't hurt her without hurting Abraham. Now, you women, see where you belong. And the Bible said, you women, be like Sarah was, which adorned herself in modest apparel, lived honest and true to their own husband, loving him so much that, he said she, that's what Brother Bram said, she called him her Lord, ruler, ownership. All right? So initiate and govern. Brothers, we got to remember, we're the initiator, but we're also the governor. All right? We're the governor of our home. We're also the ruler of our home. There's things that we must do to clean out our home. Answer to God, you will, for not doing it. All right? But the best thing to do, this is just to make it all come together, and we'll stop in just a few minutes. I've just got a few more quotes. We'll stop for this afternoon. We know what's right and wrong if we're a message believer or a born-again believer. Let's say a born-again believer. We should know what between right and wrong. You know, even though if you've been in the message 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, there's one thing you know. We are supposed to live an exemplar, a life better than everybody else. Exemplary. Thank you. Yeah. You're supposed to live that before not only your church members. It's easy to live a Christian life right here. Easy. Oh, you get the feeling and worshiping and praising God. And my brother's over here praising God. And my sister's over here praising God. We hear the message of the hour and we sing our songs. And I'm being real. But go to work. Go out here. Go to Walmart. Drive on the highway. Somebody cut you off. Men, you're supposed to be exemplary. You're supposed to live an example life. It starts with us, not the sisters. It starts with the men. When we get to acting up, it's just going to happen that the women are going to act up. It's going to happen. Sorry. But if we get ourselves in line with God and what God wants us to do, I'm telling you, people, and I'm going to make this plain, and I'm going to make it clear. And I may make it clear and plain again. We as men, as husbands, in this message, if you're a born-again believer, born again, and believe the message of the hour and try to live it, our life should be, there should be somebody say something one day like, ain't nobody ever lived a life like that before. You've changed. You become a new person, a new creature, a new creation, not just to God. Your wife, your family, your neighbors. What if the neighbors see you walking around in shorts and smoking a cigarette? Well, I thought he went to that church up there that they didn't believe in that stuff. And I'm not saying you did it. I'm just telling you what a role you and I should present. I'm talking about males now. Females, you can say amen all you want to. Because I'm on the men now. You're supposed to be the steward of your own home. You're supposed to be the guy that makes the decisions. The final decision. Now, not just the decision, but the final decision. You're supposed to get the last word, and it's not yes, dear. Now, we're not supposed to be, that's what I always say, I'll get the last word in every argument. Yes, dear. But you're supposed to come together. But sisters, if you trust, there's one thing I believe, that Sister Peggy Gibby believes her husband and trusts him. So if he said, honey, we're going to drive off that cliff. Keep shaking your head. If we're going to drive off that cliff, God's got something in store. Now, I'm not joking. Because she reverenced her husband. And whether he be wrong, I'm not saying, I'm just for an example. Whether he be wrong, she trusts that man enough to know that if he's a godly man, he got off somewhere, but God's going to bring him in line. But he's got to bring him in line first. He's got to bring me in line first. He's not trying to line up Sister June. He's trying to line up Brother Wade. Then Sister June sees Brother Wade, and there's the example. Is that too far off? Sisters, you got to look at your husband. Where's Brother Joe? Oh, that's right. Y'all remember Brother Joe. He's in California with his daughter, and remember her for cancer. I just missed him when I walked by there and back there and didn't see him here. And that's another example, too. Brother Joe's one of the kindest men that I know. Very helpful. But you know what? He's that way at home away from us. That's what makes the difference. He's the same way, right? He's the same way. We should all be the same way. We shouldn't put on our robe and our priestly garments to come to church. We're supposed to be that at home. And sisters, you're supposed to look up to your husband. Look at all your lives. I want you to just, not today, but sometime go home and just look at yourself. And there's always people, there's always regrets. Oh, we're human. I should have. But like Brother David Marlowe and I were talking about it, his wife, Becky, the day was 30-something years that she had passed away. And I remember when I was younger. But he went to the grave. He come in today and he said, man, he said, it's a bad day. His wife had died 30-something years ago. And Sister Becky was a godly woman. I remember. And he said, I'm ashamed of all the things that I did afterwards. And he said, the devil tells me that I'm lost, but he's sitting here today. I said, Brother David, the very reason you shouldn't believe that is, number one, the devil's a liar and the father of it. Number two is, I said, sit in here and just get wet. Get under the fountain. You're going to get wet. Just keep coming to the fountain. And I told him, I said, if it took God to reveal to me today that God take my human life today to save my children, let me drop dead. But see, that's making a deal with God. You don't do that. But you can also say that as a human, though. And that's what I said to Brother David. I said, Brother David, her passing away, he said, well, it might have been different. Well, no, it's not, because that's not what happened. But that woman went down with a testimony. She was a godly girl. Pretty girl. Never known her to even, say anything wrong. I remember when I was little. There's the testimony. There's the 30-year testimony that goes for eternity. That testimony will last right up into glory. You know what he said? He said he went to the grave yesterday. And he told me, he said, I want to see her again. I said, well, you get born again, you'll see her again. Stay here. Stay under the fountain. Stay where you need to be. Because a life lived is better than any sermon. And we fail and we make mistakes. But men, you need to stay men. So that your wife reverences you so much that whatever decision, if y'all come together, and sure it is, you need to come together to make family decisions and financial decisions. But ultimately, sisters, the male has the last word in any decision. If you decide to do something together, that's okay. But remember, if he's a godly man, now just like what Brother Brown said, if, that big word, if he's a godly man, you got to trust that God's dealing with him in some way. Just back off. Yeah, okay, Lord. Whatever my husband decides, that's what we're going to do. But now remember, we're going to talk about it this afternoon. If he does something out from under that, if he comes out here and says, "No, we're going to go to the Baptist church tomorrow. You can go ahead and start cutting your hair and wearing pants." Come on, people.
Right.
You'll know one thing's for sure. He's not under the headship of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right? So you don't have to do that. All right? There was a situation that happened a few days ago, or about a week or so ago. There was a person leaving a church, him and his wife. And they left the church, but then they told the pastor they were going to. This is a message church. They told the pastor they were going to. I think Claude told you about it Wednesday night. It was his church. But they left, and then the man that left told the pastor, said, well, my wife wants to go here, but I want to go to Brother Claude's church, but we're going to start coming here. Now, where's the headship in that? You know what I tell my wife? I tell June, if she wants to get in the car and go to another church, go to it. But I'm coming here. Because I believe that's where the word's at. Okay? But for me to tell the pastor of the church I'm going to, that I don't want to come to your church, but my wife does, so we're going to do what she says, in other words. That's not right. That's not right. And your sisters, we'll talk about this afternoon. If anything your husband tells you to do that's outside of the word of God, then he has taken himself. You haven't removed him. God has removed him from your headship. Because he's not coming down under the word of God. You're here. He's now moved over to here. Now, you're not going to move up to here. You're still here. Because you're still supposed to respect that man. Anyway, I'll read it. Where Brother Brown said, you respect him, but you don't have to go to church with him.
Right.
Or don't have to cut your hair or do what he says. What? God's directly speaking to you. He's your head. When it comes to the matters of the word. But when it comes to the matters of us living together and us being husband and wife, tell me one thing. Answer me a question. What would happen if one day that did happen? One day your husband was to come up and say, we're not going to go to church there anymore. We're going to go to a Baptist church. I'm not talking about another message church, Baptist church. What would you do, sister? Oh, you love that husband. You love him so much. But now let me tell you something. This is what the prophet said. I didn't bring a quote, but I'm going to go this way just for a few minutes. But you do one thing. You still reverence that husband. And you don't separate yourself from that man. Please don't. Because you'll do something that'll cause him to do something wrong, maybe. Same way with you men. You know, the Bible says that if you cause your wife to commit adultery, that you're guilty. You cause your wife to commit adultery, you're guilty of it, not your wife. I mean, she's guilty of it, but you're guilty first because you're the what? You're the head. You're the one on top. You're the beginner on the top. You're the one that's supposed to initiate. You're the one that's supposed to govern. But you'll answer for your role. But she won't have to answer for your role. But you got to answer for your role and her role. All right, let's go to the last quote, number 11. But you men are responsible. Listen. Now I think that would get that man and woman. Now, woman is, let me get this right good now, so that you can see it. Woman is subject to her husband. And the Bible said that a man should rule over his wife. But how they've changed that. The woman rules over the man. Now, you stay home, John. We're not going. And that settled it. Yes, my dear. See? But let me tell you something, mister. You're going to have to answer for your wife, but your wife is never going to have to answer for you. You are the head of the woman, and God is the head of the man. Now, listen. That's in everything. When that double covenant come, it wasn't just a double covenant for just Adam and Eve. It stays forever. I said forever down here. Goes back up when we go back to glory, right? You are the head of the woman, and God is the head of man. Therefore, he said, let the man cut his hair because of Christ, and let the woman have her hair, for if she cuts her hair, she dishonors her husband. See what I mean, or what the scripture says? All right, let's go to 12. Questions and answers 2. If I seen a man come in here with long hair hanging down his back like a woman, I'd say, mister, why don't you go to the barbershop? You look like a woman. See, But men usually don't do that. In other words, men don't usually come in with long hair. See, not as man. Now, not as the infallibility of man. They're just as guilty as the woman. And by the way, a man that'll let his wife do that, he's guilty double of it. Because when you usurp authority, and she's doing it and you're saying it's okay, that's where the double part comes in. You're guilty for saying it's okay, she's guilty for doing it. And you're guilty for letting her do it. All right? I'm sorry. This is the prophet, not me. And by the way, a man that'll let his wife do that, he's guilty double of it because he's supposed to be the one that has the say-so in the house. And that man can't even rule his own house. How could he do it in the house of God? All right? I'm not scolding you to be mean. I'm only so happy for you. I just don't want Satan to get a foot in anywhere. See? I want you to move upward, not backward. Don't never let no man deceive you by some enchantments or something another looked like or something saying, oh, well, it don't. See, that's the way Satan interpreted the word to Eve. See, you believe just what the word says, all right? All right, last one. Then I'll make a few comments. We'll stop right there and we'll start on that God is still the ruler over the woman if her husband's not born again or not a Christian. Questions and answers on Hebrews. Listen here, the man is the ruler. Don't you think you can rule the house? Talking to the sisters. You're not the ruler of the house. You're not a slave now, but you're a helpmate. And Adam, the man has the rule over his wife, and he's responsible solely for his wife. God makes the man answer for his wife. Now read and see if God says that now. And then he reads the scripture. Somebody asked a question about that. But we've got to be good stewards. We got to be good stewards of our home. That's why a lot of you are taking those classes with the Financial Peace University, which is, it is faith-based. The Bible tells us to be good stewards of our money. Remember the guy that went out and buried his money? Actually, God took that money away from him because he didn't do something with it. You got money buried in your house. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Yeah. Fixing to spend it, he said. Takes his billfold out, it goes, ah! The dollars are so folded like this that till they won't come out, you know, they stay folded. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Remember, he gave so much to one guy, he gave so much to another, and so much to another, and this guy just hid his money and didn't do nothing with it, and the other ones went out and did something with the money. What did he do? It was an increase. These other ones came out and used their money right. They did right things. We're supposed to be that. And I'm telling you, people, exemplary. We're supposed to be where they, everything we do, in word and deed, put it in Scripture, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I heard Dave Ramsey the other night, we were there, and it kind of shocked some of the people. But I'm going to tell you something. You, us and our finances, his daughter bounced a check. Now, I've told you before, June bounced one check in 1981. We've never bounced another one. He made his daughter go to the bank and apologize to the bank president for bouncing the check. You know why? He said, because you lied to that banker. When you write a check knowing there's no money in your funds, you're lying to the bank and saying that it's there. Now, folks, that's not godly. There ain't nothing godly about that. It never will be godly, and it's never going to be godly. You be a good steward, because you know what? People are looking at you. People are watching you. If you ain't got it, don't spend it. Right? If you ain't got it, don't spend it. Sorry. It's like the banker told Daddy, you know, about me and Terrence. You know, he didn't say that because we bounced checks. He didn't say that because we foreclosed on loans, did he? Because every time we went to that bank and we needed some money, he loaned us money. Guess what we did? We did something very strange. We paid it all back. On time. And ahead of time. But you know what? You say, well, that's just man. No. I'm telling you, I'm going to read it this afternoon. In a leadership role, everybody's looking up to you. So men, if we're in a leadership role, that's why when June bounced that check in 1981, I took over the checkbook. Now, honestly, I gave it back to her about 10 years ago just in case something would happen. You sisters, I know a lot of you control the checkbook, and that's fine. I don't mind that. But your husbands need to know also. So I gave it over to her, so if I were to drop dead, she wouldn't be lost and not know where to find stuff, what bill to pay and how to pay it and all these things. I'm sorry. But you're going to give an account for every idle word, right, that you do in life. But don't say, forgive me, Lord, and then do it tomorrow. That don't work either. That don't work. If you've been drinking all your life, stop drinking. Simple. And don't drink no more. Don't say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. That's one thing God won't do. He won't remember what you've done. But he knows your heart. And if your heart's not right. See, God is willing, and said in the scripture, to forgive you. Why? Because you got to forgive. You got a heart that wants to be forgiven. That's the problem with a lot of you. You don't like change. And you ain't going to change because you think you're the big guy standing up here. You won't change. Even in a leadership role, we've got to still be soft and pliable. We've never be hard. Never be where, well, bless God, you either got to do it. No, but if God tells you to tell somebody that, you better listen to what God said through that person. Stop the nonsense. All of us. Males, take our role as the head of the house. Keep your wife under control in godly fear and in godly love. Because there's one thing that's going to happen. If she's not a Christian, she's going to rebel. So you got to know how to handle that. You got to say, listen, honey, we'll read it tonight. He said, listen, honey, let's just sit down and talk about this. Don't start going in there, bless God this, bless, screaming, no. Say, look, let's discuss this. I've come to a junction in my life where I'm not satisfied with me, God's not satisfied with me, and we need to get this thing all back together again. Because like Brother Branham said, without the home in harmony, there's always going to be friction. There's always going to be those human emotions. And sisters, y'all have the human emotion side more than the man does. But I just wanted to make sure that you understand that, because remember, when we start talking about the man is a leader, we'll go back to Ephesians 5 this afternoon. As man is the leader, he's under the leadership of Christ, right? We lead, Christ leads us, we lead the body or the woman. We'll read that this afternoon. So let's stand. Let me read this one thing. I'll read it back tonight. Be careful how you use a role of a leader. Be careful. There's the one you need. We'll talk about it this afternoon. Be careful being the role of a leader. All right? Or a ruler. Because you can be a ruler and become a dictator. Or you can become a ruler. What did Brother Brown say? Power without character is satanic, or dictatorship. But power with character is fit to what? Rule. What? Not just this man, but your whole family. Men, we get us in line. You know, I don't agree with if we get our wife lined up, we're going to. No, I believe if we get lined up, our wives will get lined up. Amen? Is that the way it's supposed to be? I didn't make the rules. But God told us that our headship was Christ, and that the woman's head was the man. And we can't change that. But you know what? He made provisions for us to live under that and be happy. You hear me one more time? He made provisions for us to live under that kind of headship and be happy with it. Man is happy with a good wife. Wife is happy with a good husband in this role of leadership. Let's go.
37 in the spiral book.
37 in the spiral book. Let's sing and praise the Lord.
Have thine own way.
Believe that?
Thou art the power.
if you're already hard. But when you're clay and water is there, you're pliable. He can mold you. Make me after thy will. Thank you, Lord. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You men need to lead your wife. Lead them in prayer. Lead them in things of the world. You know, not the world, but the things, the day-to-day action that we have to do. Search me and try me, Master, today. Help us, Lord. Whiter than snow, Lord. Make me just now. Amen. If you believe that, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. As in thy presence. You believe you're in the presence of the Lord? Humbly I bow. Help us, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Amen. Power, all power. Where does it come from? Surely is mine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. This last verse, if you haven't eaten now. Oh, have thine own way, oh, have thine own way. You believe this now? Listen. Hold o'er my being. In other words, submissive. Absolute sway. And fill with thy spirit. To what we're talking about now. Till all shall see Christ only, always living. Let's sing that last verse again. Oh, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thank you, Lord. Hold o'er my being. Absolute sway. Yes, Lord, you have preeminence, Lord. Tip with thy spirit. Till all shall. Christ only, always living in me. Man, you believe that? Have thine own way, Lord. Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. He doesn't lead with iron fists, so we shouldn't. He doesn't lead, he leads with nail-scarred hands. Just take this and man, it's wonderful when you put it in your mouth, but Paul said it was real bitter when it got in your belly. Why? Because it was starting to become a part of you, and you were going to have to live it. We got to live this thing, people. We cannot be a bunch of quoters. We can't be a bunch of quoters. We got to be a bunch of livers of the quote. There's not going to be 1,160 sermons in glory laying on a shelf somewhere. No, we're going to be that 1,160 sermons. We're going to be those 66 books of the Bible. We're not going to have to go, Adam said, or over in Jeremiah. No, Jeremiah's going to be there. He was a part of what he wrote, right? He's going to be there. All of them's going to be there. But you know what? You know what? So what a blessed feeling is? You're going to be able to tell Jeremiah the revelation of what he was talking about. You're going to be able to say, Jeremiah, you remember all those symbols you saw? Ezekiel, you saw that wheel in the middle of the wheel? You saw them four beasts? Ezekiel never witnessed those four beasts in his own personal life. The lion, ox, man, and eagle, did he? But we do. But that was what we pull out of the Word and put in us in our heart. And we don't have to read Ezekiel. I mean, we do. You understand what I'm saying? But we don't have to go to Ezekiel to get it. That's Catholicism. If you're traveling today, sister and brother Benny, well, let me read over here. This traveling saint, he wants to read you this prayer because he's standing there beside you now. No, that's Catholicism. That's just being good readers. But we got to read and study. But the role of the male, we'll finish the rest of it this afternoon. But guys, we got to step up. We got the ones that not take control as being a dictator, but taking control of our life, taking control of our family. If something ain't going right in your house, you're responsible. You're responsible. That's why Brother Branham said you apply that token just like that man did. You know what? If it had been me, I'd have made sure I would have not just put a little bit. I'd have got the biggest lamb I could find that had the most blood. And I would have absolutely took that hyssop, not one hyssop branch. I'd have pulled up the whole, I'd have pulled the whole tree up and I'd have shoved it in there and I'd have made sure. Why? I wanted to make sure. And that's what we got to do. Check up and make sure. But when that father went inside, son says, Daddy, is everything okay? Because he's the firstborn son. His life's on the line. His daddy says, Son, everything's okay. All is well. Let's sing All Is Well. Then we'll dismiss.
All is well. All is well.
Is all well to you today?
We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well.
Amen.
There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all.
And sing it as you dismiss. Be back at 2:00.
All is well.